Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And welcome to part two of our Ethan Allen topic, because he did many crazy things that people don't seem to know about. So in the first part of the story, we talked about his origins, how he came to lead a militia group called the Green Mountain Boys, who first were formed to go after Yorkers, short for New Yorkers, in territory disputes in the New Hampshire Grants. The New Hampshire Grants being what is modern-day Vermont, and how then this group, the Green Mountain Boys, went on to serve the colonists in the American Revolution in an effort to bring favor to their desire to make Vermont an independent state. And after taking forts on Lake Champlain from the British with his Green Mountain Boys and additional troops headed by Benedict Arnold, Ethan, who had been voted out as leader of the Green Mountain Militia, was still ready to fight on behalf of the colonies, and so he had volunteered to take part in an initiative to push the fighting up into Canada.
After the successes at Ticonderoga and Crown Point, Allen really saw a clear path to move north, and he made his way toward the north end of Lake Champlain. Having gotten tired of waiting on some kind of decisive movement and having never gotten an official commission to make any battle plans, he decided that the next target should be Montreal.
I think we should be clear that Ethan Allen decided this. There had been some discussion about it prior to that, but he really kind of took matters into his own hands because he was certainly a determined and confident gentleman. And in June of 1775, so this is just a few weeks after he had led the troops that took Ticonderoga and Crown Point forts, Allen began recruiting Native Americans and even embittered Canadians to join him in this little plan. And so between June and September, he amassed his troops and he laid out sort of a battle plan. And this endeavor, we probably don't have to, but I feel we should point out, was entirely foolhardy for a number of reasons. Aside from the fact that he was just kind of doing this of his own initiative, Montreal knew what Allen was planning. He had not been secretive enough in his efforts to recruit people, and so word had gotten to Montreal that he was planning something. And moreover, even though he had recruited a lot of these men, not all of them were really on board with his invasion plan. So it was really just beset by problems.
Consequently, when he forged ahead into Montreal on September 25th, things did not go well. So as we said, they knew he was coming. And this plan was more impulsive than strategic. He thought that backup was going to come to assist him, but it never came. A lot of his recruits deserted. And the whole thing just went so poorly that Ethan was very easily captured.
Yeah, it's a certain level of turnabout. He so easily took the forts of Ticonderoga and Crown Point that then when he tried this more ambitious plan, it really fell apart and he was the one that was easily taken. Because he was charged as a traitor to the British crown initially, he was shipped back to England for trial. And Ethan Allen actually wrote of his time as a captive after the fact, and these writings were used as war propaganda. In a passage from his work, A Narrative of Colonel Ethan Allen's Captivity, he describes attempting to negotiate a sort of kindness and fair treatment with his captors and the manner in which he was forced to respond to the poor treatment that he received.
So this is what he wrote. The reader is now invited back to the time I was put into irons. I requested the privilege to write to General Prescott, which was granted. I reminded him of the kind and generous manner of my treatment to the prisoners I took at Ticonderoga, and of the injustice and ungentlemanlike usage which I had met with from him, and demanded gentlemanlike usage, but received no answer from him. I soon after wrote to General Carleton, which met the same success. In the meanwhile, many of those who were permitted to see me were very insulting. I was confined in the manner I have related on board the schooner Gaspo, about 6 weeks, during which I was obliged to throw out plenty of extravagant language which answered certain purposes at that time better than to grace a history.
So basically, he did a lot of swearing, profanity, and yelling, which I personally am going to call extravagant language going forward in my life because it sounds so nice. Rather than to admit that I threw a tantrum. And he just felt like, you know what, in the time, that's what was needed. And I told them off because I tried to be nice and they wouldn't acknowledge that. And I really love this passage because it sort of very quickly encapsulates this fiery part of his personality, which we've talked about a lot, but we haven't really had great examples of. And his narrative describes also a significant positive shift in his treatment once he was labeled as a prisoner of war rather than a traitor. And that happened because King George III had decreed that American prisoners should be labeled as such, and that way taken back to America to be held rather than being kept in England, which is where they would have to hold them as traitors.
He remained a prisoner, kept first on a ship off the coast of New York, and then moved to Long Island on parole until May 6, 1778. And that's when he was released by British troops in exchange for one of their officers.
So after Allen was released, he was appointed to the brevet rank of colonel by Congress, and he was awarded back pay for his time in captivity. But he did not actively serve in the military going forward from that. So a brevet rank is kind of an honorary situation, in case you did not know that.
Before we move on to him returning to Vermont, let's take a moment for a word from a sponsor.
That sounds grand.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, back to Ethan Allen.
So, despite the service of Allen and his fellow settlers, the New Hampshire grants were still lumped in with New York, much to their dismay.
Yeah, the Green Mountain Boys had ably fought for the freedom of the colonists from British rule, both with Ethan Allen as their leader and later under Seth Warner. But there were officials who sort of thought it was just going to be best and easiest to simply maintain the same boundary lines for states that had existed prior to the war. And so this meant that the proposed state of Vermont, which was really what they were all fighting for, was still part of New York. So that was the absolute opposite outcome of what they had intended when they even joined this whole effort in the first place.
Meanwhile, Vermont had declared its independence in 1777 while Ethan was captive. And just a few months after his release in May of 1778, Allen, who had turned his attentions from military service to political negotiation, formally presented Vermont's claim for statehood to Congress in Philadelphia. That happened in September. But there was some tension. New York was a very powerful state, and Congress was not especially keen on going against New York's wishes.
Yeah, and they were still, you know, dealing with the war effort. There were a lot of other things going on. But in the meantime, while the fate of Vermont was kind of being hemmed and hawed about, both New Hampshire and Massachusetts were eyeing this land that was there, and they were kind of making their own claims on the disputed territory. And all of this unsettled land drama kind of led Ethan Allen to do something that ended up being kind of controversial and may not have been the smartest move.
During these territorial disputes, the governor of Canada was Frederick Haldimand, and in 1780, Ethan, along with his brother Ira and several other leaders, started a series of clandestine meetings and communiques with him. They were negotiating terms to make Vermont part of the British Empire.
Yeah, things weren't going well with statehood, and they wanted their independence. So the Vermont Assembly, meanwhile, was not privy to these discussions. This really was just a small group of men who had been leaders in various ways that were kind of opening this discussion. And so while the Assembly was still working to become the 14th state of the Union, that was their goal, Ethan Allen and his allies, it seemed, were actually undermining that work by kind of backdealing with the British.
Once these correspondences were revealed, the people involved claimed that they'd been acting out of a desire to prevent a British invasion, and then put pressure on Congress to make Vermont a state in its own right. So they claimed that these negotiations were all subterfuge.
But the modern view is that, you know, even after the war ended in 1783 officially, some of these people were actually still having discussions about the possibility of Vermont becoming part of Britain with these people in Canada. So the whole, hey, we're totally just stringing them along to prevent an attack, you guys, we're totally cool. That line of reasoning kind of flies out the window. It's not a very valid excuse at that point because there was no attacking going on.
Part of Ethan Allen's history that gets tangled up here and causes some problems lies in the fact that he was approached during his time as a prisoner of war to serve as a spy for the crown. So it's generally believed that he never served in this capacity, but the fact that he was offered the chance to do so really colored the perception of his behavior in the negotiations with Haldimand.
Yeah, he basically was seen as suspicious. They were like, oh, well, so you say you never betrayed us, but you had every opportunity to. Why wouldn't you? And you were doing this thing that was kind of dicey. The one thing that's interesting to note, though, is that while the business with Canadian officials and in the broader sense, Britain, was often labeled as treason by members of Congress and the public, there were no formal charges of treason ever officially made of Ethan Allen or any of the other men involved.
Back in part one of this episode, we mentioned that Ethan's wife Mary died in 1783, and not long after, so did their couple's oldest daughter. They both died of tuberculosis.
And Ethan did mourn both of them, even Mary, even though we mentioned in the first part that they really weren't said to have a particularly happy marriage. But he did not stay single for very long. In 1784, so the following year, he met Frances Montresor Brush Buchanan. And Fanny, as she was called, was already a widow herself, even though she was only 24 years old when she met Allen. And at this point, he was 46 and, of course, a widower because Mary had died, and he had several young children.
The two of them got married just a few months after they met. And in contrast to Ethan's first marriage, this match really seems to have been a lot happier. Fanny was very well educated. She was interested in music and science, and she could and would converse with Ethan about his interests and was, by all accounts, an extremely calming figure in his life, which seems like a handy thing to have had around.
He was given to impulsive behavior. He would curse people out when he was angry at them, and Fanny really just sort of chilled that part of him out a little bit. And the pair had three children together. So Fanny Margaret was born in 1784, the same year they married. Hannibal was born in 1786, and their son Ethan was born in 1787.
Although Allen continued to work on Vermont's behalf, his political reputation had really taken a huge hit in the wake of that whole negotiation scandal, and he became less and less influential.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So while he had been the perfect man to lead a ragtag group of militiamen to cede Vermont's independence, he just didn't have the finesse needed to actually govern and lead in times that required more diplomacy instead of brute force.
So even though Fanny had this calming effect on him, he still, you know, was the same man at heart. He was not one that liked to make deals that involve compromise. So his work, instead of being so much in the political realm, began to focus instead on writing. And he went back to working on a project that he had begun years earlier with Thomas Young, who in our first episode we mentioned, he was a doctor that Ethan Allen was friends with, and they had a rather scandalous public violation demonstration that resulted in them both being charged because it was illegal at the time. So he ended up going back to the work that they had been doing together, and he ended up publishing a book entitled Reason, the Only Oracle of Man, or A Compendious System of Natural Religion, and that came out in 1785. And this book is largely a discussion of deism, which centers around morality and spirituality coming from a place of reason rather than being part of a structured and dogmatic religious order. You can predict how well that did.
That was not well. His criticism of both the Old and New Testaments really struck a sour note with a lot of people.
Yeah, he really did kind of tear apart the Bible, and you know, instead of sort of persuading through some of the ways that he had used when he was younger, where he was really able to make people see his point of view, he really kind of just took an attack approach, and it definitely hurt him. But regardless of his book sales, he kind of went about his life. He and Fanny moved to Burlington in 1787 to live on the Winooski River, and he wrote while he was there. He did some farming, and he generally enjoyed peace and quiet with his family. Remember, he had a lot of new children at this point.
The cause of his death is not entirely clear. He had gone out, and he was coming home in his sleigh across a frozen lake, and he either had a stroke or fell off the vehicle because he was intoxicated. He died without ever regaining consciousness the next day, which was February 12, 1789. He's buried in Burlington, Vermont, and 2 years after his passing, Vermont became a state.
Yeah, he had worked for it his whole life, but he never got to see it in his lifetime, although they were close. And just in case, we mentioned in the top of the first part of this two-parter that when you talk to most people, they hear the name Ethan Allen and they go, oh, the furniture guy. And they think that he was a carpenter or a furniture maker or somehow this was his company. It was not. So in case you are wondering about how he got tied in terms of the image with a large furniture company, that company was actually named after Ethan Allen when it was founded in the 1930s in Beecher, Vermont. They kind of, because he is sort of a hero in Vermont and known for his tenacity and his clarity of vision, they thought that would be a good sort of mascot of sorts for their new company that they were going to put together.
Well, and if you're also been wondering, as I have been, about Green Mountain Coffee, which I feel like I see everywhere now, that also is headquartered in Vermont. Despite being characterized as a cantankerous and impulsive person, Ethan Allen has really achieved folk hero status for Vermont. There's a statue of him that was given to the National Statuary Hall Collection in 1876.
Yeah, and there is a museum, the Ethan Allen Homestead Museum. We'll link to that in the show notes because they had a lot of source material. So yeah, he's sort of become famous, and I think a lot of people, like I have a friend that went to school in Vermont, and she knew a lot about him, but she was like the only person that really seemed to have a handle on the Ethan Allen story. So he's worth talking about. And like I said, I think, you know, he kind of, as many other figures I seem to pick, I don't do this on purpose, they have these potentially really prominent places in history, and then they kind of ruin them by being jerks in some way, or angering the wrong person. Sometimes through being a jerk. And I kind of feel like his proclivity for yelling at people and kind of doing his own thing and making some foolish decisions kind of took away what possibly could have been an even bigger sort of image that people would remember outside of furniture.
Yeah, my first association was definitely the furniture company.
I think everybody's is, which is, you know, kudos to them. They've done great marketing through the years, but it has kind of obscured the actual image we have of the historical figure that it is named after. So I also have some listener mail. The first part of this episode, I read listener mail from someone who had sent us an actual parcel, and I'm doing the same thing again. So we've gotten a couple of really lovely parcels lately, and I want to acknowledge those because we appreciate them greatly. This one is from our listener, Karen, and she says, Dear Holly and Tracy, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I've listened to all of them with the exception of part two of one of your serial killers topics. I just don't sleep well after a topic like that, so I know you'll understand and forgive. Of course we will. Everybody has stuff that they're not comfortable listening to. I was hiking in the French Alps when I heard your podcast on La Scala Opera House. We had a planned stop in Milan, so I added the opera house to our must-see list. You did the research, so you already know how amazing it is. We loved our tour. You would have loved the museum because it was filled with costumes and set design books. Enclosed, a few books I think you will love and two funny green packages. Have you seen these before? These are these little parcels, I'm describing them, of kind of these plasticky green envelopes. She says, they are provided free at the opera. You are expected to place your cigarette butt in the pouch instead of on the sidewalk. So it's kind of a little cigarette disposal packet. I've never seen them before, but...
That's delightful.
I haven't smoked in a very long time, so I would not have been exposed to them. But the books she sent us are awesome. She sent us a coloring book of, it's called Discover and Color, the Teatro alla Scala. And it's just a lovely book with these beautiful drawings in it that I will maybe photocopy in color, but I won't ever touch the original because I don't do that. Even as a child, I photocopied my coloring books like a big nerd. And then another children's book about a ballerina's costume for La Scala. And it's absolutely darling. The illustrations are so pretty. They're these really lovely watercolors. I love it. I love it. I love it. And she sent us this cool little 3D kind of pop-up paper model of the theater. So you get a sense of how it's laid out and where the seating is. So awesome. Thank you so, so much, Karen. I can't even tell you how much we appreciate treats like this. They're so fun.
Now I want to thank the person who sent us those horrible histories miniature figurines, and
I've
forgotten who sent us those.
Yeah, I wish we could, maybe we should figure out a way to thank everybody that sends us stuff, because we do get some really wonderful and delightful little treats in the mail from time to time, and I know I haven't always been able to, like, loop back around and make sure they get mentioned on the podcast.
Yeah, sometimes we open things and we get all excited, and then we don't write that down, and then we forget the name of the person who said that, and it becomes, then we feel ungrateful, I feel ungrateful.
Yeah, I try to keep all this stuff together, but what often happens to me is, like, just other work stuff will come up. There will be, you know, deadlines on articles that happen, and I just, that, my gratitude is still there, but the remembering to express it sometimes gets pushed to the periphery because we're focused on other stuff and our workloads are shifting. So please know that we super appreciate anything that you guys send us. So if you've sent something and you're like, those jerks never thanked me, we really do appreciate it, and we thank you. We just sometimes are jerks and we get busy and forget things. So that is all. If you would like to send us an email, you can do that at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com. You can also connect with us at facebook.com/MissedInHistory, on Twitter @MissedInHistory, missedinhistory.tumblr.com, and on pinterest.com/missedinhistory. You can visit our store at missedinhistory.spreadshirt.com if you would like to purchase shirts or bags or mugs or anything else that you feel will perfectly show your love of history. And if you would like to do a little bit of research on a topic we discussed today, you can go to our parent site, How Stuff Works, type in the words prisoner of war in the search bar, and you will get How the Rules of War Work. So you will get maybe some insight into how that whole shift happened from traitor to prisoner of war and how that treatment would have been different. You can also visit our history site, which is missedinhistory.com, if you want to listen to the shows, read the show notes, read an occasional blog, or just check out pretty pictures that we've associated with all of the above. And if you want to research almost anything you can possibly think of, you can absolutely do that at our parent site, which is howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the Ferryman of Souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.